remarks by the President, Minot, North Dakota, 29 September 1952.
Your attention, please. I have the privilege this time to introduce to you the Democratic candidate for Congress, a Red River Valley farmer, Mr. Edward A. Niesemeyer.
Thank you, Glenn. The common people are on the way to victory once more in November.
Now I am honored, and it's a privilege, to introduce my friend and your friend, our senior senator from North Dakota, a candidate for re-election this fall, Bill Langer. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. It certainly is a privilege and a pleasure to be with you this afternoon. I was here in 1948 at a meeting something like this. And I was highly complimented then, and I'm more than highly complimented now to have all these people turn out for me when I'm not even a candidate. I'm here, though, in one of my five official capacities. I'm the head of the Democratic Party as President of the United States, and I'm out here for a purpose. I want to preach a little Democratic doctrine to you and see if I can't get you in a frame of mind to elect Stevenson and Sparkman to be President and Vice President of the United States next November. Now, I've been riding all day with your candidate for governor, Mr. Johnson, your candidate for congressman at large, who was just out here, Mr. Niesemeyer, and your Democratic candidate for senator, Mr. Morrison. I've been highly impressed with these gentlemen, and of course, if you vote a straight Democratic ticket, here in North Dakota, I won't be disappointed, I can tell you that. Stevenson has made a great and progressive record as governor of Illinois, a record of clean, efficient government for the people. And in this campaign, he's talking sense to the American people. He's telling you where he stands on the real tough issues that are before us. He's a real friend of the common everyday man and not a front man for the special interests. John Sparkman's record is just as good. He's always been a leader in the fight for your interests. These men you can trust to help you all the way. Now, I'm mighty glad to see how well you people are getting along here in North Dakota. I understand the Republican candidate for president is saying the country's in terrible shape. He says the country's just going to the dogs as fast as it can go. But I have a paper here that's very interesting, which I'll tell you about in a minute. 20 years ago, North Dakota was flat broke. The farmers were losing their shirts, bank failures and foreclosures all across the state. Today, this whole region is more prosperous than ever anybody thought it could be. Somebody sent me a copy of this Fargo Forum. I have it right here. And that headline up there says, 1951 North Dakota farm income, the third highest on record. That is, the records were made in 1947 and 1948. The article says your cash income this year was $590 billion, over and above what you consumed yourselves. And it says this figure was 97% above the 1937-1946 average. It doesn't look to me much like you're going to dogs. This is not true just in North Dakota either. The whole country's in the same shape. Country never was better off. We have an economy with 62 million jobs, $343 billion total national production, and $288 billion national income. And these figures are growing all the time. In 1948, I made a prophecy that the national income would reach $300 billion within 10 years. Well, it's going to reach that $300 billion within a very short time now, far less than 10 years. And that's because the policy of the Democratic administration has been in the interests of all the people. Well, that kind of general prosperity is what gives you farmers the markets, the great markets. Last year, consumers spent $448 per person on food. Contrast that with $245 in 1929 and with $174 in 1932. And those figures are adjusted for price changes. Those figures are parallel. Prosperity hasn't come by accident. Your government has helped to make it happen. Take our farm programs, for example. Price supports, farm credit and home loans, soil conservation districts, reclamation and irrigation, agricultural research. All these play a big part in building prosperity and a good living standard on the farm. And don't forget rural electrification and rural telephones. In 1930, only 4% of the farms in Ward County were electrified. In 1950, the figure was 67%, and it's climbing, and the Republicans have done everything they possibly can to sabotage the REA program. The Republicans are always talking about socialism and regimentation. They use these words against all our farm programs. Well, the result of all this democratic socialism is that here in Ward County, farm ownership has shot up nearly 20% since 1930, and now over 4/5 of your farms belong to the farmers who work them. Those farmers here own 3 times as many tractors as they did 20 years ago. In fact, didn't have the money to buy a tractor 20 years ago. Does that all sound like socialism? Of course, the Republicans don't really believe it's socialism. They're just against these things, and they're afraid to say so directly. The National Republican Party has worked and fought against every good thing we've done for the farmer since 1933. If you don't believe it, all you have to do is look at the record. The record in the Congress is where it counts. Of course, you know about the record of that do-nothing 80th Congress that I had so much fun with in 1948. They tried to cripple rural electrification, ruin a power program, they even forced that awful shortage of storage space for grain on us. The one their candidate says didn't happen. I just read the record of the Committee on Banking and Currency at the last stop, which stated specifically that the 81st Congress had amended the Commodity Credit Corporation and taken out the amendment which the 80th Congress put in there that prevented the farmers from having storage for their grain. They don't mind misrepresenting the facts when they think it'll get votes. You'll find them talking out of both sides of their mouth all the time. They don't have any principles that they won't throw overboard if they think they can get in power. But I don't think they're going to fool anybody. But all this is only part of the story. Most of the Republicans in Congress are still just as bad as they were in the 80s. They haven't changed a bit. 53% of the Republican congressmen voted against rural telephone program 3 years ago. And an equal number voted against extending price supports at 90% of parity. And they did that just this last spring. If you want a good example of the Republican attitude on farm problems, take their vice presidential candidate. He's only been in Congress 6 years. But in that time, he managed to vote 7 times for crippling cuts in REA and soil conservation programs. You've been hearing a lot about his personal finances, but that's not half as strange a story as his voting record You ought to look at that voting record. It's a peach from our standpoint. He's been against everything that's good for the people. Now that brings me down to the Republican candidate for president. I've known him a long time. I've known him ever since he was a major in the Army. And I've always been very fond of him. He was a great general, and he did a wonderful service for the country in World War II. But he doesn't know the first principles about the program that's necessary to keep this country running. He doesn't seem to be very fond of REA. Just the other day, he got up at Omaha and said that he would take the government's sticky fingers off our rural cooperatives. Now that's just a plain insult to cover up a bad intention. It's an insult to Claude Rickard and the whole REA. And it's an insult to the cooperatives too. I think you're not being fooled by any such foolish talk as that. The Republican candidates had some other things to say about the farm program too. Over in Minnesota the other day, he tried to make the farmers think that he would be for all the good things the Democrats have done. In fact, at that meeting, he got on the Democratic platform and tried to claim it. But he left himself an awful lot of holes to slip out of. I'm going to say something more about that later on, in which I think you'll be interested. That is, when I come back, maybe. Moreover, he doesn't seem to know what the Republican record is. Maybe he ought to read their platform, which promises to aim at parity for farmers in the marketplace. Now, I don't know what that means. I've never yet been able to figure out what parity in the marketplace is. It sounds an awful lot like two-bit wheat to me. Sounds like 25% of parity. Now, that candidate, fine man that he is, has got a lot to learn about this country and about his party, too. But I don't think we can afford to educate him at public expense. Best thing for you to do is send him back to the Army where he belongs. I want you to remember this. The old guard Republican Party won't protect your interests. They don't care about them. They don't give a hoot about your interests. What they're thinking about is feathering the pockets of special interests with which they're connected. They've got more friends in more lobbies in Washington than all the Democrats put together. If they get into this power, they'll act just as they always have. And that will be to the end of your great progress here in North Dakota. That's not the kind of change you want, but that's the kind you get if you elect a Republican ticket. And from the Democrats, you'll get young, vigorous men skilled in the tasks of good government who will carry forward the kind of progress that you've been making for the last 20 years. Now, for your own interests, for your own welfare, for the goodness of your pocketbook, and for the goodness of your assets and your bank accounts, it's to your interest to go to the polls in November and vote the Democratic ticket and keep the country safe for another 4 years.